At that time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River. He came to John and wanted John to baptize him, but John tried to stop him. John said, "Why do you come to me to be baptized? I should be baptized by you." Jesus answered, "Let it be this way for now. We should do all things that are right." So John agreed to baptize Jesus. Jesus was baptized and came up out of the water. Heaven opened, and he saw God's Spirit coming down on him like a dove. And a voice spoke from heaven. The voice said, "This is my Son, and I love him. I am very pleased with him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Can everyone hear me okay? Yeah, good, good. So it's the second sermon in our new sermon series, Heaven Touching Earth. Would you agree that there was probably a little bit of heaven touching earth in that, what we've just heard? Yes? That's better. We didn't get any responses at all at 9 o'clock, so I'm just trying to get a little bit of enthusiasm for this message today. What an amazing picture. Would you agree? Just testing. What amazing picture is conjured up in our minds when we think about Jesus' baptism. Who was involved and what was going on? So I'm going to invite you to do a little bit of a meditation, a guided meditation. Can I invite you just to close your eyes for a moment? Just relax, take a deep breath, sink into the chair, get comfortable, and let God speak to you. Imagine that you're walking along a dusty path on a warm sunny morning, and the River Jordan lies just in front of you. You see a line of people waiting to approach this man who's shed his shaggy hair and he's dressed in strange stuff, but he's dunking people in the water. There's a queue of people waiting to go and join. You wait in the queue and you shuffle forward. He's bringing people down into the water and lifting them back up again. You shuffle forward again. You come to the river. It's your turn now. See the river flowing around you as you wade into the water. Feel the current against your legs. You get closer, and just in front you see John welcome this man who everyone's talking about, Jesus. And he has a conversation with him before lowering him gently into the water. Then he lifts him out again. Suddenly the sky lights up in a brilliant, dazzling colour. Amazing. And you hear what sounds like a flapping of wings. And you see a dove gently descend on Jesus. And then you hear a mighty, glorious voice. "This is my Son, whom I love. In him I am well pleased." Then the voice speaks again. And this time he mentions your name. "This is my son and daughter." Just imagine God speaking your name as he says it. "This is whom I love. In him or her, I am well pleased." Just reflect on that for a moment. Let God speak to you. And now I'm sorry to say you need to open your eyes. So, there's a question for us to think about. Why was Jesus baptized? Haven't we been taught that baptism is all about the clearing away of our sins? And if so, why did Jesus, the sinless one, need to be baptized? John asked Jesus about why he wanted to be baptized, and Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to fulfill all righteousness." By being baptized, Jesus completely identified himself with man's sin and failure, though he himself needed no repentance or cleansing from sin. He completely identified with each and every one of us. So we now get to get onto the subject matter of today's talk, which is actually entitled Baptism of Jesus, Affirming Our Identity. And our identity is important to us. It's who we are. So what is our identity in Christ? As followers of Jesus, we are known as disciples, or that is, a pupil. Pupils who have given their lives to learning from their master. We are in Christ. And when we acknowledge Jesus as the Lord of our lives, Scripture tells us that we receive the Holy Spirit, who will be our ever-present helper to live in Christ. As John explained to the people in chapter 3, verse 11, he explained the difference between his baptism and Jesus' baptism. John said, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And Romans 8 tells us, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. That literally means Daddy. This isn't a God that's far and distant. This is a God who wants to be known as Father, as a parent. And you think about what that means, a loving parent. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Isn't this mind-boggling? Isn't this mind-boggling? Come on, you started well earlier on. Isn't this mind-boggling and breathtaking? Just think about it for a minute. We receive the Holy Spirit to help us as a teacher, a counsellor and a guide to help us live our lives in Christ. And we become adopted children. Now, you know what adopted means. We've been adopted means that we have been chosen. As we've just sung, couldn't have sung a better song before this sermon. God, as a loving Father, has chosen us to be children in his family. Not only that, he wants us to be in a close relationship with him. And he wants us to call him Abba, Daddy. He wants us to call us Daddy. As Jesus came up out of the waters of baptism, we had the amazing privilege of hearing God himself speak. Now, there's lots of instances in the Old Testament of God speaking, but in the New Testament, there's very few. So we should really stop and think about what's been said. So as we are now in Christ, everything that God has said to us about how he's related... As we are now in Christ, everything that God has said about how his relationship is with the Son also applies to each and every one of us. So let's just think about that for a moment. God said about Jesus, this is my Son, whom I love. He's saying the same thing to each one of us. He's saying it to you. This is my Son or daughter, who I love. You are his precious adopted son or daughter. Nothing you do can make God love you more, and nothing can make him love you less. Just take this wonderful truth in. Look around you. Look at the adopted sons and daughters from God's family sitting near you. Go on, have a look for a minute. It's not frightening. We are God's, we are a family. We are brothers and sisters. God also said, with him I am well pleased. God takes great pleasure in you. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you, in his love. He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Do you grasp this truth? God delights in you. He loves it when you seek him out and spend time with him. I recommend listening to a really helpful sermon by Pastor Rick Warren on this subject called Learning Our True Identity in Christ. It takes five aspects of our relationship with the Lord to help us understand who we are in him. In the video, it is suggested that our identity as followers of, it suggests five key aspects of who we are in him. We are accepted. We're accepted by God, who knows us completely and lovingly accepts us just as we are. We are highly valued by God. We are valuable to him, as demonstrated by the extent of his love for us through sending his son into the world to die for us in order for us to be in a right relationship with him. So we are accepted, we are valued, we are forgiven, totally forgiven. Through Jesus' perfect and all-sufficient sacrifice made for us, we have been forgiven and set free. God gives us the gift of righteousness, meaning that we are now in a right relationship with him through faith in his Son. We are totally loved by God. God loves each and every one of us here today. He knows us intimately. He knows the number of hairs on our heads. His own word tells us that. He's interested in every detail of our lives and longs for friendship with us. The Lord's Prayer tells us to ask for the things we need. That's how much he loves us. And as well as being accepted by God, valued by him, forgiven and loved, we're also made capable. There's nothing we can't do for God. When he gives us a task, he will equip us for it. So, the following prayer is taken from my daily prayer book. Lord, thank you for coming down into our humanity that we might be lifted up in your divinity. Isn't it humbling to think that when Jesus became a human being and took on our flesh, he became of one substance with us. And in doing so, he completely identified with us. Our part in all this is very simple. If we want to be identified as followers of Christ, we are to recommit our lives to him, to dedicate our lives completely to his service, and to put his will and purposes first. To make this personal, I'd like to invite you now to renew the vows that we made when you were baptised. If you haven't been baptised or confirmed, as we call it in the Church of England, you're invited to make the vows if you feel comfortable to do so. So if I just read out the vows and the response, if you'd like to say the response after me. Just have time, just pause for a moment. So these are the vows you would have made when you were baptised. Do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God? I reject them.
I reject them.
Do you renounce the deceit and corruption of evil? I renounce them. Do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbour? I repent of them. Do you turn to Christ as Saviour? I turn to Christ. Do you submit to Christ as Lord?
I submit to Christ.
Do you come to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life? So may God bless each and every one of us in the coming days as we attempt to live out our lives for him. Amen. I'll just add to that, if you're not confirmed yet and you'd like to consider it and see what it's all about, feel free to talk to Marcus or Manda or any of the leadership team. We'd love to share that with you, what it means. And this evening, there will be a chance to discuss further what we've talked about. Jude's going to host that. So feel free to come along and consider more deeply our identity in Christ. Amen.
The bands have come to the front. It's a great invitation there to come before God, isn't there? Maybe come for the first time. Maybe come for the 100th time, the 1,000th time, and just say, Lord, I give myself to you. I devote myself to you. I hear your call and I come. And let's use this time of sung worship now as an opportunity to respond to the God who draws us closer.